Started with tonight's council meeting. I'll ask everyone to rise for the pledge to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Okay, Ms. Francis Smith.
Present.
Dr. Enix.
Present.
Ms. Kwiatkowski.
Present.
Ms. Leon.
Present.
Dr. Van Wert.
Present.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Present.
Mr. Colon.
Present. Thank you. Before we get started, we have two citations this evening. The first honoring Sergeant Matthew Lazor, and the second honoring Captain Timothy Cooper. I know Captain Cooper wasn't going to be able to join us tonight. Is Sergeant Lazor in attendance? Okay. We will make sure that they both get those citations from council. Approval of minutes for May 3rd, 2022 City Council meeting. Any comments on the minutes? Minutes stand approved. Moving on to public comment, we will start with any subject not being voted on this evening with a 5-minute time limit. Due to the length of our agenda, I'm going to let everyone know if there's ever a night I'm going to try to keep it to that 5 minutes. It will respectfully be tonight, everyone, for the sake of everybody in attendance tonight, and we may have a few speakers. Just a YouTube reminder for our audience at home. If you start this meeting after 7 p.m., please make sure to scroll ahead so that the YouTube stream is current rather than a recording of an earlier portion of the meeting. I'm going to start with anyone who signed up to speak in order. This is anything not being voted on tonight. And our first speaker is Rosemarie Frey. And I ask everyone, when you come up to the lectern, please state your name and address for the record.
Hello, my name is Rosemarie Frey. I live at 212 East 4th Street. I'm here for this particular... I think I sent you guys a video. All right. This rings in my house 10 times a day, every day. Back in February, I started hearing the bell, so I walked up to the church. I tried to talk to Father Andy and to discuss these bells. We moved in our house 21 years ago, the bells were broken 22 years ago. If I would have known I had to go through these bells every day, every hour, I would not have bought my house. So this was thrown upon me. So the bells rang from 7 a.m. They wake my family up until 9 p.m. at night, every hour. And at 12 o'clock, they go off 42 times. And at 6 o'clock, they go off 42 times. So I thought, okay, I talked to Father Andy. I talked to Darlene Heller of zoning, collaborating. They cut the bells down by 3 hours. Oh, now only 7 a.m. till 6 p.m. But still, that is not good enough. So I took a petition, and I went through the neighborhood, thinking, am I the only one? Families, they were thanking me. They were saying, oh, my God, thank you for what you're doing. Two families with infants who can no longer. They're at their wit's end. The families don't sleep. I've talked to Lehigh students. I mean, their reaction was, can I sign this petition 10 times? Why is this happening? Please stop these bells. I've even, a couple people are like, they want to blow it up. I mean, it's crazy. But yet, Father Andy says to me, I have to make this part of my lifestyle. So I am here to ask your support. I mean, I pay property taxes to be protected from things like this. If there is any questions that you can ask me, because I'm not sure I covered everything because I did it so quickly, please ask me some questions and I will be happy to answer anything that you have to ask me. Does the council have any questions?
Ms. Fry, this is historically your opportunity to give comment. I appreciate you reaching out to council. If you want to, I know we have a long agenda tonight, you're more than welcome to stay till the end of the meeting, or council members could reach out to you individually via email or phone if they have
questions.
Well,
let me just make sure that I then, if I take my minutes, okay, make it part of your list, though. All right. Okay, I know, I was just told I was going to come tonight, so I'm not the most prepared. Okay, right, they fixed the bells, right, after 22 years. So I guess there's some people in, like, the Litzenberger house who like the bells. I think everyone likes church bells if they're in a distance, but if you're under a 5-ton bell, and that's how you have to live, I think you would change your mind. It resonates through my house. It's causing us great anxiety. It's causing our neighborhood great anxiety. I did approach Amicus, who's the rental company who'd been buying some of the properties. All of their rental people are complaining about the bells. He's totally behind me. He's not here tonight, but he's totally behind me. There's the parish council. They voted on these bells. They voted. None of them live around the bells, but they voted to keep them. All right, so, all right, and last communication, they've cut the bells down by 3 hours. They thought that was good. My suggestion on, I think all of you got, I sent the petition out to all of you, was to have it during mass times. And at 7 a.m., you can't even have a crew out on the street, fixing the street until 7:30. But yet we have to wake up every single day at 7 a.m. with these bells, whether we like it or not, weekends. Okay, they echo through our house. It infringes on my rights and the surrounding population. It is a public nuisance. The bells will continue. The elders have spoken of the church. The church council voted on it. The elders have spoken. The bells must remain, regardless. Now, how Christian is that? I wonder. Really, I know that's a joke.
Ms. Frye, I'm going to politely ask you to please bring your remarks to a close.
Okay, thank you. All right, just make sure the city ordinance. Okay, the city ordinances only say that they, the religious organizations are exempt from noise ordinances. So that's where I'm at now. I'm just hoping that somebody can lead me the way. If this isn't going to work, tell me what other avenue to take, because I don't know if I can live in my house anymore. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Our next speaker signed up this evening. Robert, I apologize if I'm misreading the last name, Wolf.
That's correct. Evening, members of council and the mayor. I've come here to talk about my concerns about pervasiveness of trash containers on our sidewalks, in particular the South Side. I live in the South Side. I've lived there for 30 years now. And over the last, I don't know if it's been the last 5 years or so, the problem's getting worse and worse. The trash containers are left on the sidewalk continuously, not just during the pickup day or the day before, day after, continuously, but they're basically stored there. And not only containers, but also containers, plastic bags, which are all violations of the city ordinance. City ordinance 1162 covers trash, and 1162.07 says place in the containers. It clearly says that containers shall not be stored in front of the property unless there's no rear access. Okay, fine. But then it goes on to say if they are stored in front of the house, they should be stored on the porch, which they're not. I've reached out to the health department numerous times, myself and other people as well. My neighbor have done this, and it's a stone wall. I mean, they're very nice, they're very polite. When I call, they talk to them, but they don't. Nothing ever gets resolved. I've reached out to other people, and I got the city clerk called me one time and basically said that, yeah, people, a lot of people looked at it, but that was the end of the conversation. I don't understand. I mean, it infects us all. It gives our whole city a bad reputation. It just looks like a ghetto. There's no answer. There's no reason for this. It drives our property values down. It hurts us all. It just makes no sense. Again, the ordinance clearly states this, but yet we're just ignoring it. I'm not sure why. I'd like an answer.
I can't speak, or council can't speak for the enforcement.
I understand.
You're more than welcome to speak to either of our deputy directors of community and economic development, which oversee the health bureau.
I've spoke to them before. I shouldn't say that particular person, but I spoke to people in the city about it, and I got nowhere. So I'm coming to you asking, you don't have to give me an answer now, but I'd appreciate an answer maybe between now and the next council meeting. I'd understand you can't get an answer right now, but I'd like an answer. Why are we continuing this? Just getting worse. And it wasn't like this 5 years ago. It's not just in my particular block. I walk the entire South Side all the time, and I constantly see it all over the place. Again, outside, in containers, outside in containers, just free-for-all. There's no excuse for this. Absolutely not. It just makes our neighbor look like a ghetto, which obviously is not in our best interest, any of our best interests. Okay, is that fair enough? Could I possibly get an answer back to me? Reach out to me, Mr. Coleman. Could you possibly reach back to me and let me know what?
It's pronounced Cologne, but I
appreciate that.
And yes, sir, I think that is fair enough. And before you conclude your remarks, can you just please state your address for the record?
Yeah, sure. I thought I did. It's 442 Seneca Street.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Our next speaker signed up, Tina Kazakos. Again, if you don't mind just stating your name and address for the record.
Yeah. My name's Tina Kazakis. I live at the corner of 4th and New Streets in Bethlehem. I'm here representing the business owners of East 4th and New Street. I'm speaking on their behalf. More than half of the residents in this area are immigrants and bilingual, and I'm here speaking for them. To address the building on South New Street, Pat's Newsstand, and you're welcome in. And this is about the article that was written about a month ago, and I'm addressing this to the city council. Did you ever think what would happen if this monstrosity that you're allowing to be built collapsed from a sinkhole or shabby construction? What did we do? Wipe out all of the New Street and East 4th. In the mid-90s, 1994, a sinkhole on Hamilton Street in Allentown wiped out two blocks of stores, offices, and apartment buildings, plus structural damage to buildings surrounding the sinkhole. Look at the building in Florida that collapsed because of poor inspections. It killed 100 people. This is scary. Recently, there was a sinkhole on East 3rd Street caused by broken water line. This would be devastating to the business owners and residents. Did you ever think what would happen in case of a fire in this building? Hot ashes, smoke, burning debris falling all over our buildings and our homes around your 100-foot building. The properties at New Street, East 4th, Corner 5 East 4th, 7 East 4th, 9 and 11 East 4th are basically landlocked. We have a 2-foot walkway to get tenants out of the America's building, our tenants and patrons. Dr. Daniels, tenants and patrons, did you ever think about our small yards getting flooded out from runoff rainwater and snow splashing onto our property line off of this 100-foot wall? Did you ever think how you would feel walking out in your backyard into a 100-foot wall? Think about that. I don't know if you thought about it when you approved the building. There's one parking garage for all of South Bethlehem. People are going to start parking on private property, which will cause more problems for the property owners. This building is going to be a nuisance. So is this the way things are going to go, Bethlehem? If you don't get your way, you just threaten with a lawsuit. The South Bethlehem Business District deserves a lot better than this. To have a strong business district, you need consideration and compromising for all to thrive and survive. Threats, arrogance, and intimidation, it's not the way to do this. For months, we've been trying to get information on this building project. Numerous calls were made to city administration, planning, and the zoning department. Property owners and business owners want to know what's going on. No one spoke or informed the property owners of anything as of today. As of today, we still have no idea of what's going on. Our properties are going to be affected by this. Residents and business owners are scared. Ms. Leon had said, it is essential that the voices of the local residents who are being impacted be heard. The council already made your decision without hearing from the residents. We're requesting city council, Mayor Reynolds, the zoning and Planning Commission to consider a buffer zone between our property lines and the building. A driveway between the properties to avoid flooding on our property and provide a way out for our residents and patrons in case of an emergency. The information that I gave you is about bus shelters back in 2003. If you note on there, the dates I highlighted, it shows that it took 2 weeks for City Council and Mayor DeGrasso to make a decision and tell Atlanta buses that there will be no bus shelters in South Bethlehem Business District. That's leadership. Telling Atlanta you will not put any shelters up. And that's the reason why I brought it up. Not so much about the bus shelters, but the time that it took for City Council and the mayor to make that decision. Please remember, the residents of Bethlehem voted for you, not the out-of-state developers. Sorry, they're not doing anything for you except taking our tax dollars. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Our next speaker signed up this evening is David Gill.
Good evening. My name is David M. Gill. I reside at 241 Franklin Street. My concerns tonight are traffic and trash. I live at the end of Franklin Street between Spring and Liebert. I've had conversations with my neighbors regarding this issue. We see increased speeding in this area as these people turn around and they go down to Liebert. Also, we've seen cars come in the opposite direction from Liebert down to Spring. This is a one-way street. The other concern we have is that between Spring and Franklin, there are two stop signs. The other day, we were standing outside and we noticed two cars running the stop signs in opposite direction within a 5-minute span. My last concern is trash. Now, I realize this is an ongoing problem throughout our country, and I've taken it upon myself to do my part to try to pick up trash on my street throughout the week. But it's an ever ongoing battle. And also at the end of the street where it turns into Liebert, there is a wooded area where people tend to dump their trash. If you were to just go down there, you would be shocked. That's all I have to say tonight, and I appreciate the ability to speak to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gill. Our last person signed up is Mr. Artie Caracola.
Hi, I'm Artie Caratola of 813 Lawford Street in Bethlehem, a.k.a. J. Creed of the Lehigh Valley State for Wake Up, Rise Up, Live for Peace, a rapidly growing peace movement that I am one of the founding organizers for. Last September 21st, in conjunction with the United Nations International Day of Peace, we held the first virtual international 26.5-hour peace concert that had over 43 million viewers throughout the world. With the, you can Google this to find out what I'm saying is true. With this professional organization of Wake Up, Rise Up, Live for Peace, along with great, excellent regional and local acts, upcoming acts, and internationally and nationally famous acts, with more stages throughout the world. We are expecting this September 21st even to last longer and have more viewers in our city of Bethlehem that was named after the city our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was born, that we call the Christmas City. We have Music Fest, Celtic Fest, Chris Kindlemark that promotes and supports Santa Claus, Frosty, Rudolph, The March of the Wooden Soldier, Scrooge, Tiny Tim, The Grinch, Nightmare Before Christmas, Arts Quest, Music Fest, buying Christmas gifts, plus more. But not what Jesus was about. At this point in time, I like to propose us in the city of Bethlehem, the Christmas city, to have a festival supporting what Jesus Christ was about. A festival supporting love and peace, world unity, and Jesus. This would be the first 10-day world peace and love festival ever to be held in the United States. And faithfully, we should do it every year. I'm working on love and peace festivals to be held in other cities in Pennsylvania and New Jersey as well. But I would like my hometown to be the first. These festivals will spread the message of peace and love, plus get more work for international, national, regional, and local acts, performing acts, who are spreading the word to the people of love and peace. To make the people, have the people rise up, wake up, and live for peace and love. It will also give more work to the day's struggling performing artists to be paid fairly with money acquired by sponsors and vendors. I could also have professional videos done of the bands and the festival and viewed throughout the tri-state area, plus the entire United States and the entire world will know Bethlehem, Pennsylvania with the Wake Up, Rise Up, Live for Peace festivals. The publicity that the city would get would be worth millions. These festivals will spread the word of God through peace and love, plus spread our word of our city of Bethlehem, making it more prosperous. But even if we should lose money each year, we should look to it as a tithe to God, our Creator, to give Him thanks for all He has done. But I'm sure that He will bless us tenfold for doing His will and doing our little part to make His earth a better place for all of His people and all of His living creatures. God bless you all, and I hope we move on this thing. Wake Up, Rise Up, Live for Peace gives everyone a chance to be part of a growing peace movement that will help greatly to eliminate crime and violence and spread love, peace, and joy throughout the world. If you wish to talk further with me, you can call me at 610-867-0256. That's 610-867-0256. Or email me at artiecuratola.nightoftheartsatgmail.com. That's A-R-T-I-E, C as in cat, U-R-A, T as in Tom, O-L as in love, A as in apple, dot, night as in nighttime, N-I-G-H-T, of the arts at gmail.com. Or check me out and message me on my Facebook page. Just Google J-A-Y dot C-R-E-E-D dot 75. God bless.
Thank you, Mr. Caratola. That concludes everyone who has signed up in advance. Now open it up to the room for anyone who wants to speak on anything not being voted on this evening. Is there anyone to the left who wants to speak? Ms. Rodriguez? And I remind everyone of a 5-minute time limit, and to please state your name and address for the record, please.
Eddie Rodriguez, 701 Main Street, Bethlehem. First of all, I'd like to start off with My compliments to Chief Cott, Bethel Police Chief, for her handling of the new attitude and behavior of police officers. That's quite an improvement that I've seen over the years. I like the way that I've seen, what I've seen is respect. Their mannerisms and behaviors are changed, their patience, and I can see a response where the residents can talk to them, but more has to be done in that area. But I like the way where that trend is going. I respect that. Again, good job. Not because I like Chief Cott. It's not that. It's not that at all. I do. And I have a tremendous amount of respect for her. But I've seen what other police chiefs have done and said. And I didn't see this over the years. But thank God that we got her here. And I appreciate that. And I'm sure that you're going to see quite a bit of a newer change here in Bethlehem regarding Bethlehem Police. And other police stations can follow that example. Other things I have to say, alongside of the police, I would like for them to do more about the loudness of motorcycles, the loudness of music, and the whole entire city. Not just Main Street, not just where these folks behind me, or those that are on 4th Street, for whatever given reasons they come here to complain about the things that are happening in our city. I would like for the police department to step up their patrols and go on a sneak. Stand on their corner. I'm sure that, you know, they can catch one or two, and by one or two, you will set the example, because then along those areas, these folks will try not to do the things that are wrong and committed in our community, in our neighborhoods, in our... I just want something done about it. It's time. With this new police chief, I'm sure that something could be done in that area. Because there was a failure that it wasn't done in the past. Not as much as what I could see now. The dumping of... Well, let me start off this way. My compliments to PennDOT, which I called up through Mike Alco's office, and great job. But they're still dumping there on 378, Mike. It's still there. I want some signs erected in that area and put a fine of not $300, $500 to those caught and anybody trying to do that very same thing and throughout the city, because there's a lot more dumping, not just in that area right there. And not just because of haulers or anything like that. With the increase of the prices for these new apartments that are being constructed in our city from out-of-town businesses, that's something that we as residents will not be able to handle, because the increase is going to be of $1,200, $1,500. Where are people going to get, you know, they're on Social Security, where are they going to get this type of money? Again, in the last few meetings I've been talking about this, and it just serves as a reminder that people cannot afford being on Social Security, these types of rent. So they're going to look for other people that can. And this is outrageous, because it's going to push people somewhere where they don't want to be. And that's out in the street. So we're going to have more homelessness, more drug activity, something I talked about over the years. I met some folks in a yard sale on Church Street. And they asked me to do something, Church, Niski Hill, and Linden Street. And they asked me to possibly talk to City Council or the city, because I mentioned who I was. And they want something done about the speeding in that area. They come up Church Street and boom, they fly. So what I'm asking City Council and Mike Alco's office is to consider throughout the city in certain areas, speed bumps, humps, whatever they're called, to slow down this speeding. This could be done. because it's getting way out of hand, and these speeders and the loud music are taking advantage of our city, and our residents are very annoyed. So how many times must they come up to city council, and yet they feel like they're not being listened to? I'm sure you can come up with a project and put more signs, more fines for those that are disobeying the rules, and do something about speed bumps. I'm sure that these things will help with the speeding, and it will slow the traffic down. With all due respect, please do something about it. I'm sure you're going to have a backflow of people coming in little by little with complaints like this. Things that I've been talking about for years are coming out in all reality. It's not a show anymore.
Thank you, Mr. Rodriguez.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else to the left who'd like to make comment on anything not being voted on this evening? Move over to the center. Anyone in the center who'd like to make comment on anything not being voted on this evening? Gentleman in front.
Hi, I'd like to thank the City Council for this opportunity. My name is Larry Spagnola. I live at 1521 Kaywin Avenue. I arrived here in the Lehigh Valley after a 40-year absence to help my brother John Spagnola care for our mother, our 93-year-old mother, Kathy. And during the last four decades, I've lived in New York City and Los Angeles. I've had the opportunity to make a living as a writer. And while shooting a Holocaust movie with Anna Paquin and Marcia Gay Harden in Latvia, I became aware of the acute problem with affordable housing. And I saw it in Europe, and I've seen it here. I've seen it most nakedly on display in Los Angeles. And I want to tell you about an opportunity that I had to work with some lawyers at Paramount and Warner that felt strongly about doing something about it. And we started this company called Global Housing. I'm the CEO, and we were able to provide affordable housing for people in the Los Angeles area. And I'm hoping to do something here in the Lehigh Valley, if possible, here in Bethlehem. So just briefly, we have a great product. Mayor Garcetti gave us space in the LA Arts District to put up a demo. And we've had the opportunity to bring it here, where we've met with people in the Valley. And I'm hoping to have the opportunity to reach out to you and tell you about Global Housing Missions. This is our logo. It's a globe, and it's housed. And we'd like to do this with everyone. We have a great, like I said, it's got the integrity of a brick and mortar home. And it comes in at around $70 a square foot, starting there. And I don't want to get into the details right now, but we'll hopefully be taking this opportunity to reach out to you. I'm here with Brooke Mittman tonight, and I just wanted to thank you all for this time, and we'll be able to answer your questions. Our most recent conquest has been in West Africa, where we provided dormitories and classrooms for African school children in Liberia. And we have that documented. It's on our website. It's something that you can find at globalhousingmission.org. Thanks again. It's great being back in Bethlehem. And I'm sure I've forgotten a bunch of stuff, but I want to keep it under 3 minutes. And it looks like I'm going to be able to do it. Thank you again, and you'll be hearing from me. Take care.
Thank you. Thank you for coming out tonight, Mr. Spagnola.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Is there anyone else in the center who wanted to make any comments on anything not being voted on this evening? Looking to my right, seeing none, I will open it up to the phone lines for our local and global YouTube viewership. Again, anyone watching at home can call in for public comment on anything not being voted on. Pardon, that number is 610-997-7963. And anyone watching at home who wanted to make comment could call in to 610-997-7963. The phone lines are now closed. Moving on to second public comment for anything on tonight's agenda. There was no one signed up previously, so again, I'll go around the room. Starting with the left, is there anyone who wants to make comments, sir?
Good evening. I'm Joe Buba. I'm an attorney at Fitzpatrick Lentz and Buba, and I am the attorney for the project, which is the very last item on your agenda, 10S, the Certificate of Appropriateness Denial for the Morton Street properties. I've got a rather large team here of architects, principals, contractors, and we actually thought that we would have the opportunity in some sort of formal appeal to make a longer presentation at that part of the agenda. I understand that this is how at least we should start that process. And earlier today, I had circulated a memorandum, which I hope some members of City Council have received. At 10,000 feet, I indicated, at 10,000 feet, I indicated that the HCC's denial of the certificate of appropriateness for the demolition of the properties that are currently being used for student housing was procedurally and substantively flawed. Most specifically, they denied the COA for demolition without even looking at the infill project that would have been put in its place. And again, I don't want to go into great detail because this is somewhat of a truncated presentation, but I believe that runs afoul of the HCC guidelines. Secondly, and importantly, I indicated that the HCC guidelines specifically do not allow a flat denial of a certificate of appropriateness. Rather, the guidelines and the underlying enabling statute make it very clear that a denial must include recommendations in order to reach a reasonable accommodation. No such conditions were added. In fact, the chairman twice or three times asked the person making the motion if they wanted to amend the motion so as to add conditions. I assume the chairman knew that there was no authority for a strict denial. Lastly, I indicated that the HCC failed to properly address the economic hardship, which is a specific aspect of the denial for a certificate of appropriateness for demolition. What the board did was vote on the demolition first, denied it flat out, and then indicated that they were not going to hear the second part of the presentation, which was the COA for the infill. So they did not even understand or fully recognize the project. So in lieu of making a long presentation with others tonight, I understand that perhaps we would have that opportunity if HCC continues to deny, but based upon the arguments I've made and frankly based upon common sense, they're a recommending body and they really haven't given City Council much to work with. I understand that there's at least some support for perhaps sending this back to HCC because of the issues I raised, hopefully with the directive that HCC would both re-review the demolition COA and, most importantly, evaluate the infill COA so that they can make a knowing balancing test, which is exactly what the guidelines require. One last thing. The other item they missed is the historic officer, when he was reading from a statute, the guidelines specifically left out the section which said there must be an evaluation of the historic significance of the building. That is, you could have buildings in the historic district with very little historic value, and you could have properties that are a landmark. when we raised that issue, the historic officer said that no, our interpretation was not correct, that all properties within the historic district get the exact same scrutiny, treatment, balancing act. That begs the question, why do you even have a COA for demolition in the guidelines if the rule is, as they said, all buildings within historic district cannot be demolished? So as I said, you know, we're prepared to go back to HCC, but if that doesn't happen, I'm sorry, but we are going to have to ask for a little bit more time. This is a multi-million-dollar project, and it, you know, it just can't end abruptly without people at least knowing what we're doing. Sorry, I went a few seconds over.
Thank you, Mr. Buba, for your comments this evening.
Okay. Should we stay until the last agenda?
You're welcome to. It's a public meeting. We will take action in some capacity when we get to that. So I would invite you to stay till the end if you'd like to, sir. There won't be any kind of public hearing tonight when we get to that agenda item. Council will discuss and act on that agenda item, but you're welcome to, I guess what I'm saying is I would not invite you back to the lectern when we get to that agenda item this evening.
Right, so is that the appeal then? That when you say there's not a public hearing, the HCC guidelines say after there's a denial, it goes to City Council as an appeal.
Sir, I guess you'll have to, it'll depend on how Council acts this evening. When we get to that agenda item, how Council votes tonight.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else on the left-hand side of the room who wanted to make comment on anything being voted on? I'll turn to the center. Is there anyone in the center who wanted to make comment on anything being voted on this evening? Mr. Schotten?
Bill Shire, 1898 Avenue. The light is now almost overwhelming. Thank you. I would like to comment on the letter you have received from the developer who wishes to demolish the 8 residences in the 100 block of East 4th Street and the 2 residences behind them on Morton Street. And by developer, I mean to include the New Jersey developer, the New Jersey owner of the property, and the Allentown lawyer. The letter asks you to reverse the denial. This is going to be a little repetitious to what you just heard. Asks you to reverse the denial of the HCC for demolition of these homes and to approve the new construction because it alleges that the HCC did not follow its own guidelines. In the first instance, that the HCC denied the demolition without recommendations that would result in an approved application. But there was indeed a very strong recommendation, namely that the residences not be demolished. To paraphrase Shakespeare, a recommendation by any other name is still a recommendation. The letter presupposes that the developer's needs are capable of being compatible with the city's needs. Now, suppose a mining company proposed to turn the entire historic district into an open pit zinc mine. After all, there may be zinc deposits there, for there was once a zinc mine on the other side of South Bethlehem, which may still be in operation, I understand. Such a proposal would obviously be a non-starter. However, excuse me, the current proposal would also undermine, so to speak, the very reason for the existence of the HCC, for it is proposed to destroy the entire history on this site. Furthermore, any additional recommendation would be of necessity so fundamental that it would require the HCC to do some very basic planning on behalf of the developer. Basic planning that the HCC would have to do very carefully because it would have to live with whatever it recommended. What is the HCC supposed to do? Recommend a building on stilts? Certainly the requirement for a meaningful recommendation has been satisfied. Anything more than that would be onerous and unfair burden on the HCC. Page two. I would imagine that the developer would be allowed to return with a proposal that did not include the demolition of the residences. The letter also states that the guidelines say the HCC should make every effort to understand the needs of the developer, and that the city of Bethlehem should make every effort to reach a mutually agreeable solution. This gets us to the unreasonable economic hardship allegedly demonstrated by the developer in an affidavit. I have not seen this affidavit, but at the HCC hearing, the developer described its hardship as being unable to recover the cost of bringing the residences up to what it called a competitive level. It would be nice if the developer would release its underlying calculations, but developers are rarely, if ever, willing to do this. We are supposed to trust them and accept such statements on faith. Secondly, the residences are currently competitive, judging by the young people that I have seen entering or leaving them, assuming that the young people are not squatters. The hardship alleged by the developer is caused by its desire to have higher-end apartments. Should the city sacrifice history so that a developer can have more modern apartments? Also, the developer states that the apartments would be for student housing, but a representative of Lehigh University stated at the hearing that no additional housing for students is necessary. Finally, the developer states that the HCC did not require additional information that is permitted to require. Since the HCC is not required to require this information, but is only permitted to require the information, it is exceedingly difficult to understand why the developer feels aggrieved. But in spite of all this, the developer requests approval of the council for the new construction. Go figure.
Thank you, Mr. Shire. Is there anyone else in the center who wants to make comments this evening? Mr. Antalik?
Stephen Antalik, 77 Ridge. These meetings used to be attended by quite a few of concerned citizens, and have diminished dramatically because they're developed between the citizens and council, an adversarial relationship with the citizens were called STP, standard people who speak all the time, or people against the interest of city council. As a result of that controversy, they've stopped coming, because the interests of the community were made secondary. And Article 1714, designed to preserve the history of the South Side, became a paper tiger. So we saw what happened on 4th Street, New Street, and East 3rd Street. And that was an era in Bethlehem known as the era of the developer, whose will took sway in the city, with city council in a certain relationship with the will of the people. It was historic preservation, succumbing to the will of the developer. So there's a major issue here. Whose will be served? Will that era continue? And further do I waste it from coming to City Council because their will is not heard or adhered to? But, as I mentioned before, there's a physics curve known as the sine wave. Peaks and valleys. We're coming out of a valley, as I mentioned earlier in the meeting. We're into a peak, going into a peak. And this council is showing the will to respond to the will of the people and preserve and honor Article 1714. So, if this council continues on that path, this could be a new day in Bethlehem, where the will of the people was honored by the will of council. And maybe if council makes that well known, they'll bring people back to these council meetings who have shown concern and were concerned citizens. And then council can reestablish that friendly relationship with the citizens rather than being adversarial and being called a cabal or a clique against the will of City Council. So if you look at the big picture here, it becomes a very simple problem, simple solution rather, to a very serious problem. By honoring and adhering to Article 1714, which calls for the preservation of the history of Southside, which has been destroyed by earlier council by approving the will of a developer. So that era must end. And I commend you if you continue on your upward path.
Thank you, Mr. Antalix. Is there anyone else in the center who would like to make comment on anything being voted on this evening? Looking to my right. Seeing none, we will open the phone lines back up. Again, for our viewership at home, anyone who wants to call in, 610-997-7963. That phone number is 610-997-7963 for anything being voted on. And that concludes public comment tonight. Moving on through our agenda. Old business, any old business for members of council? Moving on, communication 6A.
A memorandum from Police Chief Michelle Cott with an attached resolution and agreement for the purchase of a duty weapon by a retired officer of the Bethlehem Police Department. Pursuant to the third class city code, retired officers may purchase their duty firearms at fair market value.
And resolution 10A is on the agenda tonight. Communication 6B.
Memorandum from Sandra Stidell, Director of Purchasing, with an attached list of vehicles that will be placed for sale in an online auction to be held within the next 60 days.
If council has no objections to the property listed, the items may be added to the online auction. If council would like to discuss a specific item, the same shall be removed from the list and discussed at the next council meeting on June 7th. Would any member of council like to remove any item from the list and discuss it at the next meeting? Seeing no, it will be communicated to the purchasing director that City Council has no objections to auctioning the listed property. Communication 6C.
A memorandum with an attached resolution from Kristen Wenrick, Health Director, recommending the contract with Cedar Crest College to provide community connection focus groups. The cost is $6,000 with an estimated completion date of June 30th, 2022, if there are no renewals.
And resolution 10B is on tonight's agenda. Communication 6D.
A memorandum from Police Chief Michelle Kopp with an attached resolution and agreement for the purchase of a duty weapon by a retired officer of the Bethlehem Police Department. Pursuant to the Third Class City Code, retired officers may purchase their duty firearms at fair market value.
And Resolution 10C is on the agenda. Communication 6E.
Memorandum and an attached resolution from Tiffany Wismer, Department of Community and Economic Development Business Manager, recommending a contract with the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce for marketing services. The term runs until December 31st, 2022. The cost is $75,000 and there are no renewals.
And Resolution 10D is on the agenda. Communication 6F.
Memorandum from City Solicitor John F. Spurk Jr. with an attached resolution and associated use permit agreement. The permittee is Steel Pub LLC and the event is the 2022 Steel Pub Summer Kickoff. The agreement is from 12 noon to 8 p.m. on June 5th, 2022. The agreement covers First Street from Polk Street to the entrance of Steel Ice parking lot.
And Resolution 10F is on the agenda tonight. Communication 6G.
A memorandum from City Solicitor John F. Spurk Jr. with an attached resolution and associated use permit agreement. The permittee is Arts Quest and the event is the 2022 Steel Stack Summer Concert Series. The agreements from 10 a.m. to 12 midnight for each of June 5th, June 12th, July 31st, and August 24th, 2022. The agreement covers First Street from Polk Street to the Eastern Terminus and Founders Way between First and Second Streets.
And Resolution 10G is on the agenda. Communication 6H.
Memorandum from City Solicitor John F. Spurk Jr. with an attached resolution and associated use permit agreement. The permittee is Community Action Development Corporation of Bethlehem, and the event is the Greenway Farmers Market. The agreement is from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. each Friday from June 10th through October 7th, 2022. The agreement covers the Greenway from Taylor Street to Pierce Street.
And Resolution 10H is on the agenda. Communication 6I.
Memorandum from City Solicitor John F. Spurk Jr. with an attached resolution and associated use permit agreement. The permittee is Arts Quest and the event is the 2022 Sabor Latin Festival. The agreement's from 12 noon to 1 a.m. on both June 24th and 25th and 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. on June 26th, 2022. The agreement covers First Street from Founders Way to the Eastern Terminus.
And Resolution 10I is on the agenda. Communication 6J.
Memorandum from City Solicitor John F. Spurk Jr. with an attached resolution and associated use permit agreement. The permittee is Juneteenth, Lehigh Valley. The sub-permittee is Arts West. And the event is the 2022 Juneteenth, Lehigh Valley. The agreement's from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. on June 18th, 2022. The agreement covers First Street from Polk Street to the Eastern Terminus and Founders Way from First and Second Streets.
Resolution 10J is on the agenda. Communication 6K.
Memorandum from City Solicitor John F. Spurk Jr. with an attached resolution and associated use permit agreement. The permittee is Holy Infancy Roman Catholic Church, and the event is the Holy Infancy 2022 Cultural Celebration. The agreement is from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. both June 5th and 15th and 16th, 12 noon to 10 p.m. on June 17th, and 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. on both June 18th and 19th, 2022. The agreement covers Laufer Street between Pierce and Buchanan Streets and Pierce Street between East Pepper Avenue and East Fifth Street.
Resolution 10K is on the agenda. Communication 6L.
A memorandum from City Solicitor John F. Spurk Jr. with an attached resolution and associated use permit agreement. The permittee is Arts Quest and the event is Sites for Hope Concert. The agreement's from 4 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. on June 14th, 2022. The agreement covers First Street from Founders Way to the Eastern Terminus.
Resolution 10L is on tonight's agenda. Communication 6M.
Memorandum and attached resolution from Alicia Miller-Harner, Deputy Director of Economic Development, recommending a contract with the Reinvestment Fund for Housing Strategy Consultant Services. The term runs until December 31st, 2023. The cost is $129,436 and there are no renewals.
Resolution 10E is on the agenda. Communication 6N.
Memorandum from City Solicitor John F. Spurk Jr. with an attached resolution and associated intergovernmental agreement between the City of Bethlehem and Hanover Township, Northampton County, related to usage of the city's yard waste facility.
And Resolution 10M is on the agenda.
Communication 6-0.
A memorandum from City Solicitor John F. Spurk Jr. with an attached resolution and Fourth Amendment to the Youth Permit Agreement for Festival Sites. The permittee is Arts Quest, and the event is Music Fest 2022, Music Fest 2023, and Music Fest 2024. The agreement includes a small parcel of city-owned land adjacent to Neville Place as a festival site for Music Fest in the 2022 through 2024 calendar years.
Resolution 10N is on the agenda. Communication 6P.
Memorandum from City Solicitor John F. Spurk Jr. with an attached resolution and special event permit agreement. Permittees are Arts Quest and the Moonbound Skies LLC. The agreement represents a supplemental request from Arts Quest to use certain City and Redevelopment Authority property for carnival ride and inflatable bounce attractions. The agreement is for Music Fest 2022, Music Fest 2023, and Music Fest 2024. The agreement covers property located in the Sun Inn Courtyard.
Resolution 10-0 is on the agenda. Communication 6-Q.
A street vacation petition from Cole, Balsiliadis, Florenz, and Rashudi LLC on behalf of petitioners George Mowers and Charlene Donches Mowers, requesting vacation of a portion of 2nd Avenue. As part of the Armory redevelopment plan, a portion of 2nd Avenue was vacated in favor of the developer of the Armory Apartments. However, an approximate area of 15 feet by 107 feet was not vacated and remains a grassy area between the Mowers property and the sidewalk on 2nd Avenue. The Mowers are seeking to have this area vacated in their favor and will be responsible for care and maintenance.
I will accept a motion followed by a second to schedule a public hearing on this requested street vacation at the Tuesday, August 2nd, 2022 City Council meeting.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Councilwoman Wilhelm, second by Dr. Van Wert. If the clerk will call the roll on the motion.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatkowski?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. The public hearing will be held on Tuesday, August 2nd, 2022. I think we got everything in communications. Moving on to reports. I have nothing this evening. Mr. Mayor?
Just a couple quick things. First of all, I want to thank, there were several council members that came out last week to our reimagining West Broad Street announcement over there. I think we did the last Tuesday, so we're very excited about that, and I want to thank everybody for the words of encouragement and support. And we also last Saturday had our first Live in the Garden concert, Through the Rain, but we had a great crowd. We had a lot of people show up. They were willing to stand there in the rain. Councilman Kwiatek was there, standing next to me in the rain as well. But we're back out there this Saturday. The weather looks to be the opposite, where it's going to be about 90 degrees and sunny. But we are really excited, and we saw a bunch of people that came out from the neighborhoods that were super, super, super pumped about that. And the last thing I just want to mention is several of us were at a rally and a march here on Saturday morning, and I just wanted to publicly thank the chief and her officers who were here and there as the crowd kind of moved down Church Street and up Main Street. I think there certainly was different potentials for people not sure where they should be, and I think it was just handled very, very well by the officers, and I spoke to them afterwards, and they were just very committed to trying to make sure that all of the attendees here were able to use their voice. And I thought that they didn't want recognition, but I was happy there were some of those things like, I wonder what they're about to do here with all these people about to go in the street. And I think they handled it very, very well. So I just wanted to publicly announce, that and thank the chief, who I do like as a person, and your officers as well. So thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Reynolds. That's a couple compliments on the professionalism of the department tonight, Chief. Moving on to our agenda, we have no ordinance for final passage. We also have nothing for new ordinances. Moving on to resolutions, I'll ask the clerk to read Resolution 10A.
Okay, be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem and the Mayor, Controller, and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor, are hereby authorized to execute an agreement to effectuate the transfer of city-issued handgun assigned to Samuel Kessler, retired city police officer. Resolution sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? The clerk will call the roll, please.
Okay, Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Queeteck?
Nay.
Dick Wong?
Aye. Passes 6-1. Resolution 10B.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and the controller and such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Cedar Crest College for providing community connection focus groups. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion?
I just had one question. Perhaps Chief Cott could answer it, or I don't see Ms. Winter, so. When it's referenced stakeholders that will be involved in the focus group, will that will include people who the police had interactions with and were referred and perhaps used the services of the social worker?
Yes, I believe so. I know Ms. Westerman and Director Wenrick are primarily in charge of getting the stakeholders together, but to my knowledge, yes.
Okay, great. That was my only question. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from members of council? The clerk will call the roll.
Okay, Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Queeteck?
Aye.
Mr. Kwan?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Clerk will read Resolution 10C.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and controller and such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement to effectuate the transfer of the city issued handgun assigned to Kevin Conrad, retired city police officer. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? If the clerk will call the roll, please.
Okay, Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Queeteck?
Nay.
Mr. Kwan?
Aye. Passes 6-1. Moving on to Resolution 10D.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and the controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce for marketing services. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion?
I just have a question. Is this an annual contract that we do every year with the chamber?
Yes, we've been engaging in this contract since before I started with the city.
Okay, I just want to clarify. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from members of council? We will call the roll.
Okay, Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Queeteck?
Aye.
Mr. Kwan?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Moving on to Resolution 10E.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and the controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with the Reinvestment Fund for Housing Strategy Consultation Services. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Any discussion from members of council?
I just had a couple of questions. I guess I just wanted to clarify that it says $129,436 during the initial term. Does that mean that it may cost more, or is that the top amount of the contract, $129,436?
That's a to not exceed number.
To not exceed, okay. And then the end date implementation, is that 12/2023? I did see that, right?
Yes.
Okay, all right. I just wanted to give my thoughts on this. I'm torn on this because naturally I'm passionate about affordable housing, but I have some concerns because, I take seriously that we're representatives of the community. And when I'm speaking with my constituents overall, they say they generally feel that we spend too much on consultants. In this particular contract, I'm just considering that I think we already have a lot of resources at the local level. We have data, we have resources. Last year, the Lehigh Valley Regional Housing Advisory Board, which is made up of 50 members of local entities involved in housing in the valley, they presented us with a specific plan on how to use our rescue funds to address housing issues. The Lehigh Valley Planning Commission has done a housing study. NYU, we did a housing solution workshop, which I was a member with NYU. and they have a lot of data available that I think is recent data, and I don't recall them ever, you know, they recommended doing a task force that's inclusive of all relevant entities and stakeholders regarding housing, and they even have a lot of clear guidelines on doing this, a lot of data, and I don't recall them really recommending hiring consultants. They said the most important factor is to get all the local stakeholders at the table and to be collaborative. Last year in the budget process for the rescue funds, I did an amendment to double the amount of money that we earmarked to for housing and homelessness. And when I did that under the intentions that we use that money to implement solutions, not to put it toward consultants' fees. And while I'm aware that, you know, at times city personnel cannot tackle new projects, last year at council we approved in the budget the transfer of a position from EMS in the service center to the Department of Community Economic Development. So we created a brand new position to address housing. So if I'm correct, we now have two positions in housing in community economic development just for housing, which is another reason why I question the logistics of hiring yet another consultant when we have personnel targeted specifically to work on housing. My concern is this is going to take six figures out of our taxpayer money when we look at, this is $129,000, we already did $85,000 for the homeless shelter. And this can take over a year and a half to complete up until December 2023. And I don't understand why we can't put this money to direct utilization based on the recs we received from the Lehigh Valley Regional Housing Advisory Board. And those are the people in my mind who are working in the fields and thus most knowledgeable on the local issues and solutions regarding housing. We are at a crisis point now. I don't think anyone can deny that. And I don't think we can afford to wait for over a year and a half for consultant findings or recommendations. I wrote an email to administration noting that while I question hiring consultants, if we're going to go that route, I requested that administration at least consider the firms that were recommended to me from my contacts within the state, contacts who are truly considered experts, contacts who many of them are attorneys, and many, if not most, have been working on housing and homelessness since the 60s and 70s. The firms that they recommended, two firms, work exclusively on housing. And as the NYU Furman Center states, when they talk about doing, if we want to consider consultants, localities would want to consider advertising the solicitation outside of their usual networks, which is not what we have done here, as well as researching firms that may have this experience and sending solicitations directly to them. When I recommended the firms that were recommended to me, I was told, okay, we do RFPs and we send it to the state website. However, if there are firms that are, to my knowledge, that are experts and are well-versed and are really in demand, they're not going to go on a state website and look for RFPs because they're already in demand. We need to reach out to them, and that's exactly what NYU states on their website. The one firm that I recommended also is a female-owned firm, which would have gotten 10 extra points in the criteria in the RFP rubrics. Also, my concern is why are we hiring two separate consultants to look at homelessness and housing when they are certainly related issues? And I'm thinking it would be more economical and feasible to have one consultant look at both of those issues since they are so interrelated. So generally speaking, I have a lot of concerns about this. While I definitely want to tackle the affordable housing issue as soon as possible, I don't think going with a consultant for six figures and using the rescue fund money is the way to go. So I'll be voting no for this. Thank you.
Dr. Enix?
Yes, I would have to agree 100% with my colleague here. And having been in higher ed for almost three decades, I know that when universities get grants, you know, they're asked to provide guidance to their, you know, their subjects, the persons they're working with, and they need to provide consultation services. I looked at that website. I wasn't here when our city was involved with this, but there were cities like Kalamazoo and Huntsville, Alabama, and two others besides Bethlehem. This program was sponsored by NYU, as my colleague mentioned, the Furman Center. So I'm just telling you that I know that they have to provide some sort of consultation services, and I'm wondering, have we, you know, it's been, it was sometime in October through November 18th that our city participated in this. So has there been any consultations? That's 6 months ago.
So we continue to work with the Furman Center. We did consult with them with this RFP. It was sent to them and got their feedback when drafting that prior to its release in, I think, January or February, the RFP came out. Well, so we do. We continue to work with them.
Oh, it's a continuum.
Yeah. Anytime we participate in their professional, their continuing education sessions, the conversations around affordable housing, we reach out to them separately to get their feedback on things like the RFP. So yeah, it is a wonderful relationship that we have with the Furman Center.
Because in looking at that website, and I'm just repeating this for those who may not have looked at the, it seems as if they provide a lot of, you know, it's for cities between 50,000, I don't have to tell you, and 500,000 cities, residents in the city, but they said that they provide for strategies to help households afford and access private market homes. I mean, it, you know, it just seems as if, and they had an area where they had 80 different policies that you could study, you know, so that if our city was aiming in a particular direction, they could look under that particular topic and have some feedback, i.e., I call it a form of consultation.
It is a very comprehensive website. I think we, all of us who participated in that, those sessions learned a lot. It was an experience that I will continue to tap into moving forward in, you know, the realm of affordable housing. We will continue to rely on them. We'll continue to not just consult the website, but talk to the individuals that helped to facilitate and the experts that were part of the program. It was probably one of the best things that we've done around housing and understanding housing and what other communities do and being able to interact with them. That's not an opportunity we get with any frequency. And so I think we took full advantage of it and continue to do so.
Ms. Carner, while I have you there, can you just give a little background about what generated putting this RFP out, the process? So in our narrative that we received, I know there were a few proposals that came in. Can you just give a little background about some of the conversations around why this is the next step in a series of steps to tackle the issues that we've talked about, not only tonight, but for the last little bit, the agreement to put this RFP out, and then the process that went into reviewing it. And then I understand from what we were given that the review committee recommended this recipient unanimously, correct?
Yeah, so what we do is, you know, we've been taking a look at the incentives, the information that we had or have, our rental licensing and section program. And we look at all the things that we do that relate to housing and specifically affordable housing, and we know we've made tremendous strides in the housing category. I don't want to make it sound like we've not done anything as it relates to housing. We had a good experience even with the task force that was created last year and engaged and explored issues around affordable housing and then the Furman Center and the work we did there. But we also know that there are things that work for different cities and things that don't work. And so what we wanted to do was bring in a consultant to look at all of the data around this issue. It is changing pretty quickly. You know, the housing market, interest rates, affordability, you know, we've seen rents double. You know, there's a lot of action around this issue. And so wanting to make sure we understood the needs and then looked at the, you know, have the consultant help us look at what opportunities are available for us in Bethlehem, help us understand what is going to be the best use of our time and energy, how we can move the needle the most. A lot of these ideas are good ideas. The question becomes, how much movement is the city of Bethlehem going to get? Engaging all the stakeholders, we have a expectation that there will be a team of both community and staff that are working on this issue. And then really establishing goals and the policies that follow, and then making sure that it works. I mean, many times, you know, it's not finished until we understand whether or not there's been a benefit. So we put together the RFP. We did engage and make sure that we were being comprehensive in it. We did put it on the statewide planning website, the national planning website. We want to make sure that we're fairly distributing that in addition to being on our website, so that everybody has an opportunity that has capacity and interest and expertise, wants to respond. We put together a task force, or a review committee, excuse me, included Dr. Van Wart from City Council. There were a number of city staff. Dr. Karen Beck-Pooley participated in the evaluation. Alan Jennings, a housing advocate, participated in the evaluation and interviews. We had the Lehigh Valley Realtors participate. We had CACLV's housing division participate. So we wanted to bring in others to make sure that we were not just looking at it from a city lens. And so we did evaluations. We submitted those independent of each other. We brought in three entities to interview. Not all of those folks were able to participate in the interview process, but several were. And we walked away with a unanimous understanding of who we wanted to hire. We asked for some additional information from a couple of parties to evaluate, just to make sure we were dotting our I's and crossing our T's, and then move forward with this recommendation.
And last question, Ms. Carter, thank you for that background. The funds that are being used to cover the contract, that comes from our pot of money from the American Rescue Plan, correct?
Yes.
Understood. Thank you. My last comment would just simply be, I will be supporting this tonight. As you had mentioned, there's a lot of different things that different cities are doing, not that they work for Bethlehem or exclusive to Bethlehem. And I think that this is a step in narrowing our focus as we continue to look at changing circumstances, evaluating data, supporting the work that's already being done, and really coming up with that comprehensive strategy as is outlined in the narrative we received for what's the best use of this money. Because we very likely will never see an opportunity like this again, and it's best rather than to talk about all these different programs that are being done all over. So I think this helps us narrow that focus and actually implement strategies and policies here in the city. So I will be supporting this tonight. I will turn to other members of council for comment.
Thank you. Ms. Carter, thank you for taking time to talk to me about this also. We had a pretty thorough conversation about this. One thing I didn't ask you at that time, though, was if you could speak to why the decision was made to do two RFPs, the one that was about the homeless shelter and this one as sort of separate entities, if you could just speak to that.
They are closely related, and when we looked at the issue of homelessness, I think what I saw from council, and it was a different council, but at the time of the Lehigh Valley RAP, they did come in and give a very good presentation. It wasn't tailored to the city of Bethlehem, but it was a good presentation on what the options were for the use of those dollars. But what we heard at the time was a council who was willing to invest potentially millions of dollars into a year-round permanent shelter. And so to bring in a consultant to look at not just the issue, but also evaluate place and structure, was a specialized and kind of, specific role of that consultant. So they're looking at the issue, they're looking at the service provider capacity, who can provide capacity at that shelter, what are we missing, what else do we have to bring in, but then evaluating physical locations and the needs, the money we would have to put in for not just renovations, acquisition, making that shelter viable and comprehensive to meet the needs of this city and beyond. So, related, but different skill sets.
Got it. And then one other thing. So I know that sort of the idea is that it will be done by December 2023, but I assume that on the timeline there'll be public engagement and the recommendations will come out at a, just sort of a little bit about the timeline.
Yeah, so the first 6 weeks or so are going to be about data collection, updating the MBA, doing a risk assessment, and really getting to the heart of what some of that issue is. Then we move into the engagement phase. It is really a 12-month, and we just kind of give ourselves a little extra time, depending on how long it takes to get under contract, how long it takes to get things rolling. Timelines, unfortunately, do slide sometimes, but I don't want you to think that it is something we don't expect to complete until December of 23. It is more based on a 12-month timeline. And the community engagement is the middle and starts more in the middle of the process.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Any other question or comments? Dr. Van Wart?
Thank you. When I was initially asked to be on the RFP task force to choose this, I too had some qualms about a consultant and a process where the need for action is so necessary. But I decided to participate because I thought it would be a really good opportunity for me to learn more about how this department is challenged in ways that they've not been challenged before with the amount of money and the amount of crisis that's in front of them. Only 4 people responded to the RFP, and I spent an enormous amount of time. There's an enormous amount of data in their responses, reading them, and then we had a very long Zoom meeting for the initial go-through of our feelings about their responses and eliminated one of the people. And then we had yet another enormously long meeting in person to talk to the 3 remaining people and try and decide which one offered the best. And my initial feeling was, and I've said it to everyone here, I don't think we need, so the reinvestment fund, they did a really good presentation, but they had also done the blight study, and I was really concerned, because that's a great study, but the data is a little bit old, and I was concerned that we might get redundant data. And I felt almost that this department needed more of a hammer and less of a brain, more of a mechanic and less of a pilot. But then after I kind of listened to all of the people talking who were in the department, I really realized, like, this is not for me to say what do they need. It's up to them, actually, to tell us what do they need to help make this so. And so while it is our job for financial oversight, absolutely, I really felt that at this time I was going to defer to this department in terms of saying, look, we have structured ourselves this way so we can tackle this problem, and this is who we feel that we need. And they did a very good job. They were very persuasive, and I'm very comfortable with reinvestment fund for this job. I do wish it was a quicker time frame, but that's what they need, and so I will be supporting this tonight. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from members of council? Ms. Leal?
I also don't like consultants. For me, that's not right. I don't like spending money. Whenever I see a consultant, I automatically think, I just don't want to vote for this. But there's also certain parts of the affordable housing conversation that I think, with all due respect in the world, I don't think that we have the subject matter expertise in CED to do it. I think there's some real estate conversations that would be great to have. And I know that we have people that work in real estate that used to work for the city as well, but I would really like an outside source. I think that that's where this kind of really comes into play. So while I really hate spending any money, let alone somebody else's money, I think that this would probably be a good couple dollars to spend. But I did have a question. You said it won't exceed $129. How close are we going to get to $129? Are we expecting to spend all that?
So one of the things we're working on is the engagement process. They've proposed a website separate from the city and a surveying tool. Because we built Bethlehem surveying tool, mm-hmm. we're looking at using some of our staff and that platform as a communication method. It's where we want the public to be able to go to weigh in on projects, as opposed to looking at all kinds of other places. And so some of that is still in, you know, we're still figuring that out. Okay. So we're not completely sure if we'll hit that number, but that's what the proposal says the upper limit of it is.
Okay, so we might be able to use some stuff that we've already done and keep the prices as low as possible. Awesome, that's great to hear. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from members of council?
thank you for your presentation, Mrs. Carter, and the questions being answered. But I guess I just want to say overall that while, again, I understand that I think in most professional positions, everyone's pretty overwhelmed, a lot of responsibility, so I understand the need for help in the department. But again, I go back to the fact that we did put another position in there just for housing. And I guess what I'm thinking is, instead of spending all this money on consultants, I really truly feel like we have a lot of recent data through the Lehigh Valley Regional Housing Advisory Board, especially through NYU. I mean, they have a wealth of data basically just on Bethlehem on their website that we can access. Also, the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission, so I think we have the data, we have the local resources, we have experts in the field who are willing to sit at the table. And from my take on the NYU workshop, my take was they highly recommended that we continue a housing task force that is very collaborative, and we have, and it's inclusive that all the stakeholders are at the table. And I feel, based on my time in many years in working with homelessness and housing issues, is that the best approach is continuing a housing task force, having it inclusive and collaborative, and using NYU and their data as consultants for free, and then using the money for direct implementation. I feel like we can get things done a lot quicker, because I really have concerns about waiting until December 2023, because we are beyond a crisis, as we know. And I know one of the things, factors they talked about was they can identify the drivers. Why do we have an affordable housing crisis? Well, you know, no offense, but I don't think it's rocket science to know why we have a crisis. I mean, just in our city alone, 85% of residential development has been rentals in the last 5 years, and pretty much all of that, or majority of that, has been high-end luxury rentals, not market rate. We have a lack of a housing stock. We have COVID, which meant there's an influx of people coming from large cities into smaller cities like us, from New York and Philadelphia. There's many, many reasons. So again, I don't think it's, you know, rocket science to figure out the whys. And I think if we get the right people at the table, local people who are, again, working in the fields, and those are the experts in my mind, I think we could get things done a lot quicker. So again, that's why I'm going to vote against this. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor?
I just want to make a couple comments. One is that, you know, I as well went through this NYU process last year, and I think that everybody can obviously agree that the problem that is going on in Bethlehem, and not just Bethlehem, but the Lehigh Valley, and what this is really about, and well, first let me start here, is that, like, we have a lot of programs that are in use, and I believe that the communication that our department had sent included a lot of the programs, Ms. Garner, that are currently in use, and the idea of putting together that group to review the different RFPs with Dr. Van Wert and Dr. Pooley and others was about putting together that collaborative process. And we had a lot of different people from a lot of different areas of expertise. The big question that we have in front of us is not just how we're going to spend any money, but it's how we're going to spend our time. One of the things that we've talked a lot about, we talked about the state of the city. I know Ms. Carner, I believe, reached out to everybody on city council to come in, to have conversations, to ask about any questions that we might have before this, as far as, you know, what we want to focus on. And that process is ongoing. So as this process goes on, if the votes are on city council, it's going to be one that, you know, we're going to be able to focus on different areas that are the concerns, the priorities of people in city council or in the community as we go forward. But the real question, as I said, is not just where we're going to spend any dollars, and we're not waiting for any study to be done to start these different programs that we've already had in effect, that we've had working with Community Action, with New Bethany. Those things are going to continue. What this is about is how do we put together a strategic framework for the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years about investing in this issue of housing, which is not going anywhere. And some things that we already have, that we spend a lot of time on, a lot of staff time, which we might not think of money that way, but that's what money is. Like, if we spend staff time looking at something like how do we create density bonuses, or how do we create these different incentives, and they don't work, I guess we learned something. But at the same time, that's also money that we could have spent on doing something else. And when you look at affordable housing, it's dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of strategies. And what works in the city of Bethlehem does not necessarily work in other cities. And there is a level of expertise and sophistication that we need to bring in to guide what we're doing in the future, not just with how we're going to spend ARPA dollars, but also as far as what we're going to spend staff time on. What are those partnerships that we're looking at? And also the metrics. Quite honestly, is like, as far as how do we know that these things are working? We are not just trying to feel good to say we're spending money on affordable housing. We're not trying to just feel good to say this is something that we're passionate about. We want to be able to look back a year, 2 years, 5 years from now to be able to say, is we spend our dollars in the best way possible. And that's what this is about. This is about helping the most amount of people in the most strategic way possible. It's not an issue of passion. It's not an issue of how much do we care about it. It's how smart are we going to be about spending these dollars. And one of the things that we are looking forward to as well is not just taking a look at what we can do here in the city of Bethlehem, but outside of this is how do we make this the regional conversation that we need to make it. Our biggest issue, and every time we bring this up, I'm going to talk about it, is that we need more housing supply. and the pressures in the Lehigh Valley that the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission talk about. Northampton County, I believe, is currently using the reinvestment fund as well to come up with Northampton County kind of strategies, is how do we create more housing supply and how do we work with what our market is? Building affordable housing in the city of Bethlehem is different than building in other places. I think last year we gave out over $500,000 through New Bethany Ministries and rental subsidies. I think we've all shown you that heat map before. Like, those are things that obviously we want to continue to be able to do. But we also want to use our dollars in the best way possible. One thing we've talked about before, things like first-time home buyer programs. When I bought my house, my first house when I was, you know, 15 years ago, that idea of saving up for a down payment and then buying that house because I had a good credit score, that was going to work. Right now, to have staff time, putting aside $15,000, $20,000 for a first-time homebuyer program, it's just not as effective as it was because of the market and where it's going. So that's the type of thing where you need to shift those positions. But at the same time, we do not have a strategic framework that's able to look at how we're supposed to make those decisions. We need someone that specializes this to come in to be able to make sure that Alicia and Sarah and Laura and Robert and whoever else is going to be in those jobs in the future is focusing on the things that are the best bang for the buck. How do we make sure that we are helping the most amount of people? But like I said, this is an ongoing process, and we look forward to engaging everybody on City Council and everybody in the community as far as determining what we're going to focus on going forward and how we're going to make sure that this is the biggest priority for us into the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Reynolds. Any other questions or comments from members of council before we call the roll? I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Nay.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Mr. Kalan?
Aye. Passes 6-1. Continuing on to Resolution 10F.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with Steel Pub LLC for the 2022 Steel Pub Summer Kickoff. Resolution sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Any discussion?
I just have one comment. In looking at both of these together, the Arts Quest, the following one, the communications were 6F and 6G. On June 5th, there seems to be an overlap of these two use permit agreements. For a street from Polk Entrance, Arts Quest is having its summer concert series at the same time, 10 a.m. to midnight. They are noon to 8. First Street from Polk Street entrance to the Steel Ice parking lot is what Steel Pub is asking for, and then First Street from Polk Street to the Eastern Terminus, Founders Way, etc., is what ArtsQuest is. And I just wanted to bring it to people's attention. I mean, I don't know that it's a reason to vote anything down or anything like that, but I just. I've never seen that before when I've looked through use permit agreements where there was literally an overlap of two of them, so I just wanted to bring it to folks' attention.
Thank you, Ms. Kwiatek. I don't know if I ever remember an overlap. Mr. Mayor, did the administration want to make comment on
that? Yeah, I just turned around to Mr. Sperk. I believe it's just closing the street there so people are able to walk there without any through traffic. Okay. I don't believe that there's any music in the street or whatever. But I think it's just to make sure that people are able to, that the closing of the street goes all the way down, similar to what happens in during Music Fest.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Mr. Kalan?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10G.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller and such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with ArtsQuest for the 2022 Steel Stack Summer Concert Series. And the resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Any discussion? The clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Mr. Kalan?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Clerk will read Resolution 10H.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and the controller and such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with the Community Action Development Corporation of Bethlehem for the Greenway Farmers Market. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Any discussion? Call the roll.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Golan?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10-I.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and the controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with Arts Quest for the 2022 Sabora Latin Festival. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Any discussion? Call the roll.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Golan?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10-J.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and the controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with Arts Quest for the 2022 Juneteenth Lehigh Valley. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Any discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Moving on to Resolution 10-K.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with the Holy Infancy Roman Catholic Church for the Holy Infancy 2022 Cultural Celebration. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? We'll call Dr. Van Wert.
While I know that this cultural celebration doesn't have anything to do with the speaker tonight, I was moved by what this block appears to have been enduring, and I do agree that even if it was twice a day, 46 times seems to be almost intolerable. So I hope, I very much hope that the church is willing to continue to work with the city and its neighbors to find a resolution that is more acceptable than just saying, no, this is what the church elders decided. That's all I wanted to say. I just wanted to take this opportunity to bring it up because it was a moving problem.
Thank you, Dr. Van Wert. Any other discussion? Ms. Leon?
I don't know if you guys would know this, but I was just wondering if they planned on ringing bells at the end because it closes at 10. So I was just curious. If not, I can go digging and find, but if you know. Probably not.
I'm not sure about the bells. I do believe that a conversation I had today is, I believe Ms. Heller said there's nothing in the zoning code about bells. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So there's nothing about bells. I guess, you know, absolutely there's always, we can try to have conversations about how many bells are going off. And then obviously I think that, you know, that would also be up to City Council if you want to change the zoning to limit the amount of bells in the zoning code. But we can certainly start by trying to have a conversation.
Any other questions or comments from members of council? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Mr. Golan?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10-L.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and the controller and such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with Arts Quest for the Sites for Hope concert. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? Call the roll.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Golan?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10-M.
Be it resolved that the City of Bethlehem of Lehigh and Northampton Counties has agreed to allow the residents of Hanover Township, Northampton County, use of the city's yard waste facility. Be it further resolved that the Intergovernmental Cooperation Agreement shall be subject to all rules and regulations established by the city from time to time as it relates to the yard waste facility. Be it further resolved that the duration of the agreement shall be 3 years from the date it is fully executed, unless earlier terminated as provided therein. And be it further resolved that the agreement further addresses the manner and extent of funding, the obligations of the agreement, and the organizational structure necessary to implement the agreement. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leong.
Discussion? We will call the roll.
Ms. Leong?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kleefek?
Aye.
Mr. Kwan?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10-N.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a fourth amendment to the use permit agreement with Arts Quest for Music Fest 2022, Music Fest 2023, and Music Fest 2024. Resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leong.
Discussion? The clerk will call the roll, please.
Ms. Leong?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Kwan?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10-O.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller and such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a special event permit agreement with Arts Quest and the Moonbound Skies, LLC, for Music Fest 2022, Music Fest 2023, and Music Fest 2024. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leong.
Discussion? Clerk will call the roll, please.
Ms. Leong?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Kwan?
Aye. That's 7-0. I'll accept a motion and a second to consider resolutions 10P through 10R as a group. And ask the clerk to call the roll on the motion.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Dr. Van Wert, second by Councilwoman Kwiatek. Discussion. Clerk will call the read the resolutions and then call the roll.
Call the roll on the motion?
Yes, call the roll.
Okay. Now, Ms. Leong?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Kwan?
Aye.
Okay. I'm going to read the back.
Yes.
Okay, certificates of appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature, Bethlehem resolutions are hereby granted for 52 East Wall Street to replace the existing roof, skylights, and windows, 512 North New Street to change the color of the door from brown to black and paint the existing brown-colored circle-top window infill material to black, and 444 North Street to replace the concrete steps and landing along Wall Street and redo the parking pad along Wall Street. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leong.
Any discussion? We'll call the roll on the group.
Ms. Leong?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Aye. Passes 7-0. Now to our final agenda item. The clerk will read Resolution 10-S.
Okay. Certificate of appropriateness under the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature. The Bethlehem resolution is hereby denied for 106, 110 to 112, 116, 118, 122 to 124, 126 East 4th Street, 2 through block site parcels situated along East Morton Street, as well as 119 and 119.5 East Morton Street. Secure a certificate of appropriateness to demolish a series of detached dwellings in order to construct a new infill development. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leong.
Before we get into discussion on the resolution, I just want to make a couple quick remarks. So Article 1714 is our ordinance here in the City of Bethlehem that creates the Historic Conservation District. And then in Article 1714, 0.07. There is a section, as we heard earlier today from one of our speakers during public comment, section A2, that says if the HCC recommends against granting a COA, that it shall indicate to the applicant those changes, if any, which would result in a positive recommendation. For those who are on council or those who may have been following council last year at our June 1st, 2021 meeting, at that time we had sent a COA back to the HCC, and in our memo we asked them to include this information regarding for denials anything that the applicant could do which would potentially earn an approval. This was included in the memo that was sent to the HCC at that time for them to include in this, when we receive our narratives from them, that any denials moving forward from last summer should include this information, that if they were going to recommend denying a COA, including, as the ordinance states, anything the applicant could do which would potentially receive a positive recommendation. At the HCC meeting where this COA for Resolution 10S was reviewed, there was a motion to deny, but there was not an explicit discussion on what could be done for the applicant to potentially receive a positive recommendation. So before I open it up to discussion from members of council, I would favor we table this evening, give an opportunity for the HCC to amend their comment and then put this back on a council agenda to vote on at a later time, as is in line with the ordinance as it states. Now, just remember for all members of council, any motion to table and then a second, there is no discussion. We would vote on it right away. Table is indefinitely, so then we could bring it back on once we were satisfied with the HCC's actions that they took to bring this in line with what the ordinance prescribes. And then, so I will, if there are comments from members of council, I would ask for anyone to have an opportunity to give any comments or share any comments before we would entertain a motion to table. And I had a conversation with our solicitor, Mr. Pinella, and I'll ask Mr. Pinella, one of the questions that I had, and I'll turn to Mr. Pinella, this is more procedural, is if our tabling this and giving the HCC an opportunity to elaborate on their denial, as was requested in last year's memo, and is an example again here tonight, the question is, would this need a whole nother public hearing? Would that be necessary, in your opinion, Mr. Pinella? Or could they simply amend their recommendations per their procedures?
I would be of the mindset that this would be something that would be officially listed on an HCC agenda. Assuming that the application remains the same between now and the time it would be relisted, if there is going to be an amended HCC report that comes up to council, it would only seem procedurally fair, so to speak, that the developer or the proposed developer have an opportunity to be present at that HCC meeting and make comments that would be appropriate through the normal course of an HCC meeting. I say this purely just out of an idea of fairness for the community and for the people that are requesting this COA. That to me would make procedurally the most sense, and again, in an interest of providing at least some form of due process for the applicants. This appears to me to be the fairest way.
And again, I see in the action that we took last summer, and potentially if it's the will of council to take this action tonight, it's not to change in any way the recommendation from the HCC, just more to bring it in accordance with what the ordinance states would be an appropriate action to help council and give us some guidance as we make our decisions and we vote. So those are my comments. I'd open it up to any comments or questions from members of council. Councilwoman Wilhelm.
Just seeking a bit more clarification, I think as evidenced in what Mr. Shire said earlier, there is some question, you know, some idea that the HCC did say, so looking at our notes here, that solutions could potentially result in the recommendation by the HCC for COA involve demolition that retains all historically contributing structures. Could somebody just clarify what makes their recommendation more clear or official? What form would that take if that's not enough?
Well, I believe, and I could turn to our solicitor if he wants to make his legal opinion known, but my understanding is at that HCC meeting, there was not in the motion to deny an explicit action or recommendation of how the application could be amended to potentially seek approval from the HCC on the floor of the meeting at the when the HCC reviewed this.
So it's primarily about speaking it at the meeting?
Would be my understanding.
For me, it was a form issue that we're talking about here, and it appears that that's what the developer would have an issue with as well. Of when you go back and review the notes of and the recording of the HCC meeting, the chair was asking if there were any recommendations, and nothing was really put forth with that. The line that you're talking about with the HCC and the demolition, that was somewhat that was not part of the initial motion for denial. Now let's assume a hypothetical here. I'm not in no way, shape, or form trying to assume anything here. But in a hypothetical, let's say it goes back to the HCC processes, and there is a vote for a recommendation of denial, but the approval would be just don't demolish these buildings. That, to me, would be the more procedural form that would satisfy the requirement of the ordinance. In my looking at this and reviewing the notes and reviewing the recording that happened, it didn't necessarily satisfy that procedural process.
Thank you.
Dr. Van Wert?
I agree with the councilwoman to my right here. I attended that meeting, and I think it was absolutely implicit by the HCC that the certificate of appropriateness would not be granted if the buildings were demolished. And it's not their job to design a building for these developers. It's their job to tell them what would be appropriate. And so I think the absolute implicit message was don't demolish these buildings. Unfortunately, it wasn't explicitly put in the motion at hand. So I hope that everyone watching this, the public, the reporters, people at home, understand that this is not a re-education of what happened at the HCC. This is housekeeping to make sure that we're following the rules. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Van Wert. Any other questions or comments from members of council? Councilwoman Cranzy-Smith.
Yeah, I just want to concur. I totally agree. And I was at that meeting, and I was very impressed with the procedures and the way the meeting was held by the HCC. I was very impressed with them. And for me, while I understand what our solicitor is stating and our president, I mean, in my mind, I think it's clear that the COA was denied because the demolition goes against everything, all the guidelines of the HCC, and it even states the Secretary of Interior standards don't even have guidelines. They don't reference demolition because they anticipate retaining and rehabilitating historic structures, which certainly was not going to happen here. So in my mind, it's clear, but I understand that there may have been a procedural issue, and I understand that we may need to get it back to the HCC, but I want to reiterate also to the public that it doesn't mean that by doing that that we're in agreement with this development in any way, shape, or form.
Any other questions or comments? Councilwoman Quita?
I align myself with Ms. Cramsey Smith's remarks, and as well as Dr. Van Wert and Councilwoman Wilhelm. That's all I want to say.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments from other members of council? So at this time, if there are none, an action council can take is if there would be a motion to table, followed by a second, and then again, there would be no discussion. We would take a vote, and if that were the will of council, then the clerk's office and I would send a memo to the HCC advising them that this resolution had been tabled and requesting that they revisit their recommendation in alignment with the memo, reiterating the memo that was sent last summer requesting that there would be language consistent with what's outlined in the ordinance. Is there a motion to table resolution 10F?
Yeah, motion to table resolution.
Motion?
Oh, you can have it.
Motion to table by Councilwoman Leon, second by Dr. Enix. If the clerk will call the roll on the motion.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatkowski?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10S has been tabled. That concludes our agenda. Moving on to new business. First, I'd like to thank our city clerk's office for installing the shining light that now rests on the lectern, which I believe is rechargeable, so we don't have to go through batteries either. Thank you to Mr. Miller, Mrs. Calachava. And then also I'd like to announce the Committee of the Whole will be meeting on Tuesday, June 21st at 6 p.m. right here in Town Hall for our ethics training. This is required by ordinance every other year that we receive training on the state ethics ordinance from the State Ethics Commission. Any other new business? Dr. Van Wert?
We will have a Community Development Committee meeting on Tuesday, May 24th at 6 p.m. in Town Hall. The subject will be to discuss the 5 zoning text amendments that were read as a communication at the May 3rd, 2022 Council meeting.
Any other new business, Dr. Ian?
I have two. I want to mention it again to the residents of the South Side that I hear your concerns, and I'm reporting that I continue to look into concerns about the conditions, especially as mentioned in the South Side Business District. I would like to add to my May 3rd comments, I want to, and that is that I went back and I added some new businesses there. However, when there are problems, the police will come immediately, they say, to handle the situations. And without naming a specific individual, I will say that the state store acknowledged that there are issues related to inebriation. And more than likely, he also said that he does not sell his products to anyone who comes in there visually inebriated. So again, I hear your concerns, and I guess I will add the bells at Holy Infancy. And the other announcement I have is that the Finance Committee will meet on June 7th at 6 p.m. in Town Hall.
Any other new business? Councilwoman Cramsey Smith?
Just two quick things. Regarding Holy Infancy, I conversed with Rosemary about Mrs. Frey before tonight, and I do know somebody is on the head of the church committee, so I'm going to reach out to him to see if we can try to, you know, mediate this issue. And I just wanted to say to Tina Kozowski, as far as the building you're talking about on New Street, I just want to clarify that when the vote came for that building for the first approval, it was the last council, and majority of the people from this council were not involved. I did vote no on it. And the only thing that we did vote in favor of recently was a design factor that we really had to legally, and it was after the fact that the approval was made last year by the previous council. So I just wanted to clarify that for you. Thank you.
Any other new business for members of council?
Very briefly, yes, the first Live in the Garden, it was pouring rain and we all still had fun. So this coming Saturday is going to be awesome. It's this way to the egress and Brother JT, and if you've lived in the Lehigh Valley for long enough, you know that Brother JT is an absolute institution. So highly recommend coming to the Rose Garden on Saturday night, 6 to 8. And in my capacity as a member of the Local Food and Waste Working Group of the Climate Action Plan Implementation Committee, we had a great meeting today and are working on getting our arms around the waste streams in the city and really understanding how much waste we're making, where it's going. So talked a lot about garbage today. It was great.
Any other new business from members of council?
Yes, to address Mr. Intowitz's comments earlier, and because we had an item on the agenda that was a great public interest and perhaps people are watching, I wanted to say to you all, you are invited to council meetings, and as evidenced tonight as well, I really value that folks are using the podium not only to issue issues, but also to commend things they've seen in the city that they value, and we are human beings up here and we do hear you, so please do come and speak to us anytime.
Any other new business for members of council? This meeting is adjourned. Get home safe, everyone.
What's that?